Good evening, everyone. You're very welcome, and it's great to be with you. Before I begin to talk to you this evening, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we are able to gather wherever we are in the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and minds this evening. May we respond to you. Give us courage and boldness and humility to do the things that you've already planned for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I say, it's great to be here. In my talk tonight, I've got a series of questions and challenges, both explicit and implicit, all contained within that wonderful passage that you just heard Elaine read to you. But my first question to you is why are you watching? Why are you seated or whatever you're doing, why are you watching this? What has brought you here this evening? It's an important question. It's not something we do lightly. We don't just rock up to church these days. We're making a conscious decision to sit down and watch this service. And so I'm asking you, why are you here? I suppose it's a question I ask myself about a lot of things that I do in life. Why am I doing this or why am I doing that? I remember on one occasion being in Dublin for the launch of Windows 95. The great Bill Gates himself was going to be there. I was a reporter. I was invited along. And I went into the auditorium. There were about 5,000 people. It was the launch of, I suppose, what could one loosely call a modern-day operating system, Windows 95. And I was asking the Lord, like, why am I here? Okay, I'm a journalist, but I'm not a techie journalist. But why am I here? And the Lord was speaking to me and saying to me, I need you to listen to what's being spoken about. And what Bill Gates was describing was a world where this operating system was going to change the way in which we live, change the way in which we speak to each other, change the way in which we shop, change the way in which we go to libraries or research or find out on information. But ultimately, over time, the reason I was there was the Lord was saying to me, look at the impersonal world that has come about. And I'm a personal God. Why are we living in such an impersonal world? And before you rush maybe to contradict that, just look at the difficulty you have in social distancing. Look at the way in which you want to come together in so many ways. And if this virus maybe tells us one thing that we really needed to learn, was that we like to be in each other's company. We don't live in an impersonal world. We're not naturally impersonal beings. We like to congregate and be with others because ultimately we have a personal God. And so as we go through this, this talk this evening based on that passage Elaine read to us, I want you to be thinking over why are you here? I hope it's because you're in search of a personal God, the God, person of Jesus Christ. But you might want to mull that over as we go along. And then the next question is, well, if you know why you're here, what is it that you want? What are you seeking? And that question jumps straight out of the passage, doesn't it? We have this picture of John with a couple of disciples, and he says, look, behold, the Lamb of God. And verse 37, the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? In a NRSV, it's, what are you looking for? And in the NIV, well, they just go straight for it. What do you want? What do you want? It's not a casual question. It's quite a deep question, isn't it? And really, it's an ongoing question. Isn't that true? an ongoing question. It's something that we have to be asking ourselves all the time as to what do we want. The disciples were looking for the Messiah, but the question speaks deeper than that because their understanding of what a Messiah would be was something that was part of the testing that was inherent in the question. Were they looking for a Messiah that was going to come on a big horse or in a chariot with spears and swords and an army? What sort of Messiah were they looking for? Were they looking for a majestic king? Were they looking for somebody of such noble birth and rank that it would be dead obvious that he was the Messiah? What were they seeking? What do you want? Was a very powerful question. It's a question that we can rightly ask of ourselves when you've worked out why you're here. It then morphs into, what do you want? The world is asking that question all the time. What is the world seeking? If Jesus was to say to the world, what are you seeking? And he is. Maybe the responses would be something like, well, I'm struggling with my identity. I don't feel secure. I need more wealth. I'm searching for health and well-being and happiness. I'm looking for meaning in life. I'm looking for love. The world is constantly seeking something which it doesn't quite understand what it is. But those seeking God need to know why they want him and need to know what they're going to get. And then they need to be able to make a decision around the person of Jesus Christ. Now, you know in church that Simon and I love C.S. Lewis. And he has a great quote about this, about the way in which people are searching. And it comes from his book Mere Christianity. He says you're a part of somebody who's been dabbling in religion, which he defines as man's search for God. And then you suddenly draw back because imagine that you then find him. And you thought, well, I never really meant to find anybody. And then what sort of decision are you going to make when you do find him? It's like you've been playing this game where you've been searching for God and suddenly you find him, or more to your surprise, he finds you. What are you going to do? What will your response be? You see, you can't be neutral about the person of Jesus Christ. If you're searching for something authentic and spiritual that is only found in the person of Jesus Christ, the only person who makes sense of the whole world around us, the only reason that we are actually here today, not to play at religion, not to play at Christianity, not to play at knowing Jesus, but to actually know him and to learn and know more about him and thereafter do something about that and with that. We can't play at it. We've got to make a decision for it. A life-changing decision. So when Jesus turns to the disciples and says, what do you want? It's a question that goes deep to the nature of their heart, as it goes deep to the nature of your heart and my heart this evening. What do you want? Are you seeking life eternal? Are you seeking a Jesus that's fuzzy and loving and warm? Will you be content with a Jesus that's loving and just? That at times his actions contradict the way in which the world works? What sort of Jesus are you seeking? What do you want? And so Jesus asked them, and the question's really telling in one sense. And in fact, it becomes even more important when you look at the questions that he didn't ask. Why are you following me? What's going on? Maybe if he was from Northern Ireland, he would have turned around and said, "What's the crack here, boys?" But he doesn't. He's staring deep into their hearts and he's saying, "What do you want?" They don't answer him immediately. They call him rabbi, teacher, and they ask him, "Where are you staying?" There's a sense in which the answer to the question of what do you want requires more information. So he tells them to come along and stay with him and spend some time, and they spend the day. Must have been a marvelous day. Can you imagine? You've been searching for the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. You think you've found him. He's asked you the most telling and challenging of questions. And he doesn't really answer it. He doesn't give you all the answers in one go. You go and you spend some time with him. And then they're so overwhelmed that they go and tell others, beginning, as you know, with Peter, Simon, or Simon Peter. It's an incredible story. You know, these guys were John's disciples. But John wasn't the real deal. John wasn't the real thing. They were still searching. As amazing an individual as John was, as compelling a story that he had, with such an incredible background that he had as well, all in all, he may have been one of the greatest human beings that ever lived, but he wasn't the real thing. He wasn't the real deal. And these guys were looking for the authentic Messiah. And they found him, and he asked them, "What do you want?" And it's a question he's asking you and me every single day. Because in the answer is sacrifice. In the answer is doing without. In the answer is incredible adventure. Because if you've been dabbling at religion and suddenly run into Jesus, or more interestingly, he runs into you, then you've got a decision to make. You've got a personal Rubicon to cross. And when you cross it and you say yes to Jesus, then a whole world of possibility and adventure opens up. And there's no taking steps backwards. It's avante, avante, avante. It's forward, forward, forward. As quickly as we can, as measured as we can, as faithfully as we can. Seeking the Lord Jesus in his fullness, in the beauty of his holiness, accepting all that he is without reservation. Giving up stuff that we like, that the world says, "Hang on to that, hang on to that." No, we've got to give it all up. We've got to follow Jesus. Jesus didn't say, "Why are you following me?" He said, "What do you want?" And if you've come here today and you know why you're here, maybe to learn more about Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's decision day. This is the day when you cross your personal Rubicon. This is the day that you say yes to Jesus. This is the day that you turn your back on the past and go forward with Jesus into the unknown, but so what? You're with Jesus. And eternal life beckons, and eternal life begins in the here and now when you give your life to Jesus, and a whole world of possibilities open up, all focused on growing the kingdom, all focused on praising his name, all focused on bringing others with you to know Jesus. What do you want? Jesus didn't ask for an instant response. And I think that's kind of telling. There is a sense in which we begin a journey when we've answered the question, what do we want? And we've identified Jesus as what we want. And we give our lives to Jesus. He doesn't ask us for an instant response. But when we say yes to Jesus, everything changes. Just look at what happened when they find Simon Peter. Jesus changes his name. Doesn't say, what about you? Doesn't say, yeah, come on in, we'll have a wee chat. Doesn't say, let's sit down, have a meal together. Changes his name. And it's a picture of transformation that happens in the lives of every single person who gives their lives to Jesus Christ. We are transformed. And in that transformation, there is an unknown. But I like to see it as something exciting and wonderful. You know, he becomes Kephas. No mention of the rock yet. No mention of what's coming next in his life. But the decision has been made for Jesus. The transformation has been confirmed and affirmed by Jesus. And everything else is in Jesus' hands. All that's required is faithful obedience from there on in. Why have you come here this evening to watch this service? Why are you watching? What do you want? And if you encounter, by the grace of God, the living Christ tonight, what will you say to him when he says, what do you want? Do you want him? Then say yes. Do you need him? Say yes. Do you want to live your life with him? Say yes. Do you want to go where he goes? Say yes. Do you want to go where he tells you to go? Say yes. Come to the living Lord Jesus this night. Say yes to Jesus, and then leave the rest to Jesus thereafter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. Help us to say yes to Jesus. Not just today, but in the days and weeks and months to come, regardless of the context of our situations, regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of how poorly or inferior we feel, or unworthy that we consider ourselves, help us to say yes to Jesus, to know that in the living Christ, we repent, we are forgiven, and we live from this day and onwards. And it is in his precious name we pray. Amen.